Oh, good morning everyone. David has just officially welcomed us to the meeting. I'd officially like to say it's lovely to be here with you all again. Bring with me the loving greetings of your brethren and sisters meeting in Arran, and Miriam especially asked me to pass a love on to one and all at Darlington. It was probably about 22 years ago, thereabouts. I was on a campaign, and he'd actually been very unwell, and indeed was very unwell at that time. He had an illness which affected him in just about every aspect of his life. You know, his waking hours, it was always there with him. And he struggled every day with this illness he had. He gave me a card. I had a lot of conversations with his brother, and at the end of the week he gave me a wee card with a poem on it. The poem was called Just For Today. And I remember about 20 odd years ago thinking to myself, you know, that card would make a really good exhortation. Now, I don't know if it's made a really good exhortation or not, but after 20 odd years I've now got round to writing an exhortation based around the contents of that card. The poem is entitled Just For Today. I'll read it, it's not a particularly long poem. It says, "Just for today, I will try to live through this day only and not tackle my whole life problem at once. I can do something for 12 hours that would appall me if I felt I had to keep it up for a lifetime. Just for today, I will be happy. Most folks are as happy as they make their minds up to be. Just for today, I will adjust myself to what is and not try to adjust everything to my own desires. I will take my luck as it comes and fit myself to it. Just for today, I will try to strengthen my mind. I will study. I will learn something useful. I will not be a mental loafer. I will read something that requires effort, thought and concentration. Just for today, I will exercise my soul in three ways. I will do somebody a good turn and not get found out. If anybody knows of it, it will not count. I will do at least two things I don't want to do. Just for exercise, I will not show anyone that my feelings are hurt. They may be hurt, but today I will not show it. Just for today, I will be agreeable. I will look as well as I can, dress becomingly, talk low, act courteously, criticise not one bit, not find fault with anything, and not try to improve or regulate anybody except myself. Just for today, I'll have a programme. I may not follow it exactly, but I will have it that will save myself from two pests, hurry and indecision. Just for today, I will have a quiet half hour all by myself and relax. During this half hour, sometime, I will try to get a better perspective of my life. And finally, just for today, I'll be unafraid. Especially, I will not be afraid to enjoy what is beautiful and to believe that as I give to the world, so the world will give to me." That was the card he gave me. It's a card that's produced by Alcoholics Anonymous, and the brother, unfortunately, was suffering from that illness. And it was an illness which was with him every day of his life. But it got me thinking, the poem there, and indeed from chatting to that brother, about the words contained in that. Every bit is appropriate to us as followers of Jesus, as it is for someone suffering from that horrible illness. So just for today, I'm not going to scroll through it all again, but I picked out some of the verses from it. So just for today, I'll try to live through this day only and not tackle my whole life problem at once. I can do something for 12 hours that would appall me if I felt I had to keep them up for a lifetime. And you know what, brothers and sisters? We stand here and we give exhortations. We profess and tell people that we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And we try and follow the things that God would want us to do. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes that absolutely terrifies me. Because I know I cannot live up to that expectation. The thought that every day of my life I have to be this and try and be this perfect individual. Well, quite frankly, it doesn't happen. And if I, you know, was to think, well, every day from now on until the day that I die, I'm going to have to live this way and do this and do all these things, that, and quite frankly, it's horrifying, the thought that I do. It fills me with horror, because I know I can't live and can't do that. But what I can do is, on a day-to-day thing, just for one day, I can do that. Forget about tomorrow. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. But you see, just for today, I can try and do the things that God wants me to do. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 6, says the following, verse 25, it says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labour or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon, in all his splendour, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own." I think that Jesus was a very wise man. In fact, I know he was a very wise man. And when a wise man tells you something, you try and do what he says, because you know it's right, you know it's good. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, "Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life?" We live in an age where stress is a horrific problem to people. And stress and depression and these sort of things, they're there. And do you know something, brothers and sisters? Just because we're Christadelphians, just because we have this wonderful hope, doesn't mean that our brothers and sisters are exempt from these sorts of illnesses. They're very real, and as much as people in the world can be affected by illnesses, so can any one of us. So, it's not as though we can sit here and think, "Oh well, that's for that." No, all of us can have worries and stresses about what the future brings. Yes, we have a wonderful hope, but we still can quite easily let things get on top of us. And who of us, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Well, do you know what, something, brothers and sisters? Jesus was right. By worrying about things, we can't add any time to our life. If anything, the opposite will happen. By worrying about things and getting caught up in the fears about what could happen tomorrow and all the rest of it, it's not going to add time to our life. It's actually going to knock time off our lives. We know what happens to people when they get, when pressure gets too much for them. That's when they get ill and things can happen. Verse 34, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own." So just for today, I'm not going to worry about where my path lies tomorrow, how I'm going to serve God tomorrow, how I'm going to do the things that God wants me to do. I'm not going to worry about that now, because today I'm going to concentrate on trying to follow God today. And tomorrow morning when I wake up, I'll try and do the same thing again. But I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. I'm going to concentrate on serving God just now. Just for today, I will adjust myself to what is and not try to adjust everything to my own desires. I will take my family, my business and my luck as they come and fit myself to them. Well, again, I suppose it's very similar, isn't it, to what we just talked about there. And indeed to some of the thoughts we expressed earlier this morning. And that is not trying to fit everything around us to what we would like, but instead trying to fit ourselves around that. To live our lives and to be, to be happy with what we have. Again, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, earlier on in the chapter, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, to deliver us from the evil one. So we should be adjusting ourselves to fit in with what's happening. We should be adjusting ourselves to try and fit into what God's will is, to asking God to guide us in our lives. We can't do everything at once, brothers and sisters, but we can do things here and now. And only by asking for God to guide us in our lives is that how we can do it. Jesus, this wonderful man, said, when we pray, pray your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And brothers and sisters, when we ask for God to guide us and ask for God's will to be done in our lives, well, that's one of the most important things we can do, is asking for God to help us, to guide us, and to strengthen us in our lives moving forward. Just today, I'll try to strengthen my mind. I will study. I will learn something useful. I will not be a mental loafer all day. I will need something that requires effort, thought, and concentration. You know, I suppose it's confession time. You know, I'm not the most astute when it comes, or most diligent perhaps is the word, when it comes to doing the readings. Miriam, probably a good job she's not here because I'm going to give an example from Miriam's organised life. Miriam gets up early and does her readings every morning. I don't get up early. I get up as late as I can and then run around like a mad thing to get out to work. And then when I come home from work, I'm running around like a mad thing doing all these important things I have to do, such as washing my car or reading some book or watching something on the telly. All these important things, these are the things I rush around doing, filling my time because I'm so, so busy that I don't always remember to have time to do my reading. Miriam, on the other hand, is far more organised. She makes time at the beginning of the day. The thought of having to sit down sometimes, and it's an awful thing to say, because you know I love reading the scriptures, but sometimes the thought of being so regimented and having to do it, it doesn't sit comfortably, you know, it almost frightens me. But see, on a day-by-day basis, even if just for a short time, I can sit down and I can take that time. If I have to plan it out every single day, then do you know what, it fills my heart and I don't always do it. But if every day I think to myself, well, just for some time, I'm going to read the scriptures. Doesn't have to be for a long time, but just for a period of time, I'm going to sit and I'm going to try and read something and try and understand something that's not there, that I haven't noticed before, then it does help me. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 16, we read, be careful or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. Then the Lord's anger will burn against you and he will shut the heavens so that it will not rain and the ground will yield no produce and you will soon perish from the good the land the Lord has given you. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on your door frames, on your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land the Lord swore to give to your forefathers, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. Brothers and sisters, I don't always find it easy to do my readings. I have to try and make that effort. I love talking about the things concerning Jesus. That helps me. It helps me in my life. And you know, there's nothing better than to sit down and to talk about the things concerning Jesus. And that's what we're told there, isn't it? Teach them to your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road. And brothers and sisters, in our lives, together, walking towards the kingdom of God, these are the things that we should be doing, is being there to help and to strengthen each other. Talking about the things concerning Jesus, to be there and to help one another on that path. It's difficult to think about trying to do it all at once and plan everything out for the next year, next 10 years, whatever. But you see, on a day-by-day basis, having those conversations with each other, helping each other and strengthening each other, you can do it if you just do it for a day. To do it for a lifetime is not as daunting. But on a day-by-day basis, that's just a bit manageable. You could do that just on a day-by-day basis. Just for today, I would be agreeable. I will look as well as I can, dress as becomingly as possible, talk low, act courteously, be liberal with flattery, criticise not one bit or find fault with anything, and try not to regulate or improve anybody other than myself. Well, obviously it's very easy for me to look becoming. I do that naturally. I'm always agreeable. No one ever disagrees with me. I suppose, actually, if I listen to what other people are saying, then that might not be quite true. So that's a lesson, isn't it? That you have to listen to what other people are saying as well and learn from what other people are telling us, not just assume that we're right all the time. Act courteously, be liberal with flattery, criticise not one bit nor find fault with anything, and not try to regulate or improve anybody. And you know what, brings us? Isn't that difficult? Isn't that difficult not to look at other people and think, oh dear, oh, you know, isn't that shocking what brother so-and-so did? Oh, that's appalling. And as for sister, oh my good, isn't that absolutely terrible, the things that they've done? Of course, I shouldn't really be looking at what they're doing. I should be trying to concentrate on what I'm doing to help myself towards the kingdom. We read in Luke chapter 6. There seems to be a lot of chapter 6s in this one, isn't it? Matthew 6 and Luke 6. So Luke chapter 6, and again, I suppose we touched on this earlier on this morning for those that were here, about the plank in the eye. Jesus, as I say, was a wonderful man, a very wise man, and said the sorts of things that we should be... He said the sort of things that we should be doing. Just wondering why I wasn't looking at the wrong book. So Luke chapter 6, and Jesus says this: do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. He also told them this parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when you yourselves fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the plank out of your eye, and then we'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. And brothers and sisters, isn't that something we all fall guilty of? Something we don't judge people, or of course we don't judge people, but we can look down at noses at other people and think, well, I'm glad I don't do that. You know, Lord, I'm glad I'm not like that brother over there, Lord, you know. Isn't he awful? And that earth for that sister, Lord, I'm glad I'm not like her. No, no, Lord, look at me. Well, of course, Jesus said a parable very similar to that, didn't he? No. Instead of looking at other people, looking down at other people, and judging other people, what we should actually be doing is looking at ourselves first. Jesus, and I make no apologies for repeating this again, so those that were here this morning, you can daydream for a couple of minutes. I did a youth weekend in Stirling earlier on in the year, and we used this idea of talking about sin. And we had a young girl sat at the front, and a wee speck and a wee dot on her forehead. I just said, same jokes. Didn't put it in her eye, because I saw dust in her eye, because obviously that would have been sore. We hadn't done that. But we got a wee speck on her forehead, and we got another lad to go outside. And when he came back in, he'd got a contraption belt tied around his head with a plank tied on the front of it. So the idea was, because this bloke was supposed to come down and try and move the wee dot from the girl's eye. He couldn't even get in the room, because he couldn't manoeuvre, because vision was so obscured by the plank in front of him, he couldn't get in the room. And of course, that's exactly what Jesus was saying to us. You know, we are so caught up in our sin. How can we possibly identify the minuscule little sin we see in someone else, when in actual fact, our own lives are so caught up ourselves? No. What Jesus said was, don't judge other people. Look after yourself first. Try and get yourself right first. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. In fact, not only be given to you, it will be a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. With the measure you use, it'll be measured to you. Brothers and sisters, I think Jesus was right when he said that. For the measure you use, it'll be measured to you. I would rather be judged for being too forgiving to people. And then God, when he judges me, will be forgiving to me. As opposed to the contrary position, is that if I'm very hard on people and judge people, you know, harshly and unforgivingly, then when I come to be judged, that's how I'd be judged. I don't want that. I want to be forgiven of my sins. So it's beholden upon me to forgive other people. Even when usually there's nothing actually there to forgive them for. It really should be me that's asking to be forgiven from them. So just for today, I will be agreeable. I will look as well as I can, just as becomingly as possible, talk low, act courteously, be liberal with flattery, criticise not one bit, nor find fault with anything, and try not to regulate or improve anybody else. It's difficult to do that for a lifetime. But see, just for today, I could just about manage that for a day. Just for today, I'll have a programme. I will write down what I expect to do every hour. I may not follow it exactly, but I'll have it, and it'll save me from two pests, hurry and indecision. So have I got a plan? I do have a plan. It's not a particularly clever plan. It's not a far-sighted plan. But it's a plan nonetheless, and it's a plan I think that I can follow. And if I can't follow it, then I'll ask for help in following it. My plan is this. Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and he will reward each person according to what he has done. I tell you the truth, some of you standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Brothers and sisters, my plan is this, and it's dead simple. My plan is to follow Jesus. It's not easy. In fact, if I was to look the path that Jesus walked and try and plan my life out as to how I'm going to follow, I don't even know where I'd start. But see, just for one day at a time, every day, if I start off thinking, I'm going to follow Jesus today, then that's a step in the right direction every day. Jesus says, "The Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done." Brothers and sisters, I've done awful things. Done terrible things in my life. Things I'm embarrassed about. Things I don't want other people to know. But there's one thing I have done. And there's one thing I'm pleased I've done. And there's one thing I'm happy to tell you that I have done. And that is, I have been baptised into the saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope and pray that when Jesus comes back and I am judged and I'm rewarded for what I have done, I will be rewarded for the fact that I have taken on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the other terrible things that I've done, I believe, will be swept aside because I believe in the things concerning Jesus. I have followed Jesus and I try to follow. I fail every day, but every day I try. I fall down every day, but every day I pray for forgiveness. And brothers and sisters, I believe that through the sacrifice of Jesus that my sins are forgiven. That's why we're here today, because we believe our sins are forgiven. So that's what we have to do, and that's why it's important every day we try and follow him. Just for today, I'll be unafraid. Especially, I will not be afraid to be happy, to enjoy what is beautiful, to love, and to believe that those who I love, love me. Brothers and sisters, Jesus talked a lot about love. John chapter 15, we read, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, and he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other. Brothers and sisters, it's not easy to love one another. But it's what we have to try and do. If I was to say I'm going to love all my brothers and sisters every single day from now until I die, I couldn't do that. But on a day-by-day basis, I can try and love my brothers and sisters. And I don't know if you maybe say anything, well, that's an awful thing saying that you can't love your brothers and sisters. But, you know, I'll be honest, there are some brothers and sisters that find me really annoying. I know that sounds incredible, but there are some brothers and sisters that find me really, really annoying. And there are one or two that I find quite annoying also. And I wouldn't say, you know, if someone says to me, Simon, you have to go on a week's holiday with them, no. I think they'd be a nightmare, quite frankly. Yet, you're planning to spend eternity with them. So it's a difficult thing. Just for today, though, one day at a time, I might not necessarily like, but I'll still try and love them. Because let's be honest, Jesus, looking at me, there's probably not a lot to like, but he still loves me. And that's what we have to try and do with our brothers and sisters. Even those whom we don't like, we still have to try and love them and be forgiving to them. And to help them on their walk, just as we would hope they would help us on our walk. Brothers and sisters, the command of Jesus, well, what did Jesus not say? Jesus did not say, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now, chaps, here's a really good idea. It'd be nice if you could all try and get on. He didn't actually say that. What Jesus said was, this is a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not a, well, this would be a nice if you could, or a lovely idea. No, there's a command. You must love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. But hang on a second. What did Jesus say there? You are my friends if you do what I command. So, perhaps, I mean, I know I'm a foreigner in a strange land, or probably soon will be a foreigner in a strange land. But my understanding of English, I believe, is okay. The words, you are my friends, well, that's addressing us, that you are my friends if you do what I command. And what's Jesus' command? Jesus' command was, you must love one another. So, if today I love my brethren and sisters, then that means that Jesus is my friend. Jesus, the Son of the only living God. Jesus, the Saviour of the world. Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins, my sins, is my friend. If I love you. Friends, that's a wonderful thing. That Jesus, the Son of the only true and living God, isn't calling us servants, he's calling us friends. If we do the thing that he asks. Love one another. So just for today, I will try and follow and do the things that Jesus asked me to do. I may not manage it, but I will try just for today. And tomorrow morning, I will try for tomorrow, and so on every other day. Just for one day at a time, I will try and follow the things concerning Jesus. Why do we meet here on a Sunday? We meet here on a Sunday to break bread and to drink wine. And just for today, when we break bread and drink wine, let us think on the things concerning Jesus. And every other day going forward, just for that day at a time, let us remember the things concerning Jesus. Jesus, whom we owe so much and can only imagine what he did for us, the love he had for us, yet that love is so strong, and he is willing to call us his friends. Brothers and sisters, just for today, let's try and do the things that Jesus would like. Okay.